This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And so we're delighted to have on the Culture Club with us this evening somebody very familiar to you from many movies and TV shows over the year. I suppose most famously, Line of Duty, which is shooting again for its return, a seventh series. But the reason that Adrian Dunbar is with us today, we're going to start by getting him to tell us about the Kavanagh Weekend 2026 in Inishkeen in County Monaghan from the 25th to 27th of September, which he is curating this year. Adrian Dunbar, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Not at all, Matt, and thank you for allowing me to come on and talk about what's going to be a very, very exciting festival. We were approached by Darren McCreese, myself, and Nick Roth, who I curate with, to throw our minds onto the Kavanagh Festival and see what we might come up with creatively that might be of interest to people. And of course, we realized that there was a connection. We'd been working with beat poetry for some time, myself and Nick, and put on a couple of shows. And we realized there was a connection between Kavanagh and the beats insofar as far back as 1956, he had gone to New York and shared a platform and listened to the work of the beat poets who he really responded to. I think he responded to them because he was aware that they were outside of the establishment at the time. And Kavanagh quite famously didn't really trust art that was coming directly out of the establishment, shall we say. And I think he responded to their youth. He responded to the questioning, them questioning the direction of travel of the United States at the time. And he liked the kind of anarchy and the freedom that they were giving themselves. And it became, myself and Nick both thought to ourselves, well, look, he was there in 56. He went back in the early 60s. Surely they must have had some transference into his work, his own work. And I started to look at his poetry just before the 1960s. And if some influence of beat poetry or the unstructured quality of beat poetry might manifest itself in his work. And we're going to explore that. We are going to bring some beat poets to Inishkeen. We're very excited about bringing Anne Waldman, who's a wonderful poet, and wrote a fantastic poem called Fast Speaking Woman, which I'm hoping she's going to do. She's a seminal character in the beat movement. We're bringing in terms of beats, we're bringing the master musicians of Djoudjouka from northern Morocco, who the Beats Burroughs and Brian Gyson and people like this were very interested in back in the, and people like Brian Jones back in the 1960s. We're bringing Tate Swindell, who's the official biography of Bob Kaufman. Jean-Marc Barr's coming to see us from Paris, who's going to be reading some Burroughs. He did a movie called Big Sur, based on Jack Kerouac. So we're gathering up quite a lot of people, including some of the students of the Lear Academy, who are going to read beat poetry. And all of this will be underscored by a jazz quintet, because a lot of beat poetry was underscored with jazz music. And of course, the whole beat thing comes directly down to Charlie Parker, the bird, and jazz music. So it's a really good collection of things.
Okay.
We're hoping that exploring this will open people to, to some of the later work of Kavanagh in particular, and also we're going to explore some of Kavanagh's spiritual, the spiritual aspect of his work. And
Adrian, how did you get interested in all of this? And where did you get this interest in Beats poetry? And also, is Kavanagh not something, and excuse me my ignorance when it comes to poetry, but is Kavanagh not somebody who would be regarded perhaps as a much more traditional in style and would almost have a very sort of slow, if not quite ponderous, approach to language?
Yeah, that's very interesting that you should say that, because I don't see him like that at all. And I'm really just engaging with him, at the moment, because I've come at him from this kind of this, looking at his later work. But in terms of how I got interested in it, my interest was started by meeting in Dublin a Lebanese-Mexican art dealer called Jose Ferez Curry, who had lived with William Burroughs for the last 14 years of his life and was an executor of his estate. And through Jose, I got interested in the actual beat poets who were still around and still doing things. And I suddenly realized that, the whole beat movement, arose after the explosion of the atom bomb on Hiroshima, and all these young Americans realizing, we could destroy the world here. What is it? What is the direction of travel of this country? And that's what makes beat poetry today so apposite. It really is incredible to engage with it, listen to a lot of young Americans just post-war trying to say to themselves, are we going to be hanseled to the military-industrial complex? Surely there's some other way for us to move on. And so therefore, I got really interested in beat poetry in that way. And then to find that there was some collision between that and Kavanagh was also very interesting indeed. And don't forget, there had been other people who, Brendan Behan had been over. He'd been engaging with what was happening in New York and at the time. There were other Irish artists who had been, who had been influenced by beat poetry. But Kavanagh may seem to be ponderous, as you say, but I don't find him. I find him insightful, and he takes his time to describe in detail various situations and conditions.
Adrian, when you were growing up and educated by the Christian Brothers in Enniskillen and Fermanagh, were you familiar with the stage of the work of Patrick Kavanagh from neighbouring county of Monaghan?
No, I wasn't. I'll be absolutely frank with you. I was much more kind of, because when I was growing up in the 1970s, of course, there was a huge burgeoning of the arts in Northern Ireland. We had Frank Ormsby and Jim Simmons and Seamus Heaney and Michael Longley, and there was enough live poets around us for us to be kind of, fascinated by poetry that was coming directly from where we were. And, so therefore Kavanagh seemed to be a person of the past. He seemed to be someone who's connected with post-war, post-emergency Ireland. And I knew, of course, Raglan Road, and I knew, the Great Hunger, I knew of those, and would have read bits of the, and would have known Raglan Road, of course, as a song. But he didn't feature heavily. But, it's interesting, isn't it, in Ireland, unless you have an institution to back you and claim you, you can quickly drift into obscurity in Ireland. Brendan Behan doesn't have an institution that puts their hand up and claims him. Kavanagh doesn't have an institution in Ireland that puts their hand up and claims him. So therefore, it's down to people, and it's down to the likes of the festival for us to remind people, how brilliant these you know, brilliant these artists are who live without the outside the establishment, and how revered they are in other countries, in particular Bihin. But you know, it's a discovery for me where I'm at the moment with Kavanagh. I'm absolutely enjoying reading all of his work and seeing the depth and the understanding of it. And of course, you're absolutely right. He comes from just down the road in County Monaghan, from County Fermanagh. And, although we had Wilde and Beckett both in my hometown of Inniskillen, there's no reason why we couldn't have, heard a lot more of Kavanagh when I was at school.
Okay, well, let's get to when you were in school and sort of an early choice you would have made. I think you love your music, and I know you've been a singer in musicals as well. First single that you ever remember buying?
The first single I ever remember buying was Help by the Beatles. The Beatles were a huge influence on me. I was born in 1958, and by the time I was five, I think, I was fully committed to music. And the first film I ever saw, as well, was Hard Day's Night. And it had a huge effect on me, not least because it was a pretty radical film at the time. I didn't realize it, but, you know, in terms of how it was, in terms of the script, the storyline, and how it was shot in particular. And it also was to do with post-war Liverpool. There's some fabulous shots at the start of the film where you see kind of kids basically playing in bomb sites and stuff like this that they included in the film. And they also included Wilfred Bramble with his kind of mad Irish nationalism that was running also through the film as a kind of comedy aspect, which was very interesting. And so the Beatles, I have to say, were a massive influence on me as a child.
Well, let's just hear a little bit of that first single that you bought, Help.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was young, was so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, days I'm gone. Not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around.
Help from the Beatles. And you actually mentioned A Hard Day's Night, another one of the movies. You have that as your favourite album. Why have you picked that album?
I picked that album because it was like the first film I ever saw and absolutely blew me away as a, you know, as a 7-year-old or whatever when I saw it, 7 or 8 year old. And
but the music still holds for you, does it, on that album?
Oh, the music. I've listened to it recently. It's unbelievable, the music on that album. You know, their ability to write a 3.5-minute pop song, to grip your attention right from the start, to use unbelievable different time signatures, to, you know what I mean? They were doing things then that no other band was doing at the time, you know, and they had unbelievable total freedom. And the idea that just these two guys met and literally sat down and could write a song, just, you know, it was like on the bus, anywhere they were, they just chat away, get a guitar out, and then write a song. And some incredible songs and they're so young, and to write, to be so sophisticated in where they were taking the songs, how they were ending them, how they were starting them, you know, where they were placing them. It really is, you know, there is only one Fab Four it'll never be repeated again. It's just the coming together of four lads and it just being perfect.
Well, let's hear from that album, A Hard Day's Night, a little bit of Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't buy me love, love, can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. 'Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love, can buy me love. Everybody tells me so. Satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy.
The Beatles, Can't Buy Me Love from A Hard Day's Night. Now, as it happens, Adrian Dunbar, the gig that you've chosen is not Beatles related. Tell us about why you've picked Horseslips at the Astoria in Bundoran, County Donegal, back in, you think it might be around 1975.
Yeah. Well, I picked it because there were events, these Horseslips gigs in Bundoran. And I hadn't managed to get to one of them. You know, everybody had been going and I hadn't managed to go. And eventually they were coming to the Astoria. And we were all really excited about Horseslips at the time. We were also really excited about getting across the border, of course. Because that gave you this sense of freedom. You'd hit Ballyshannon and let the weight and the stress of living in Northern Ireland, you know, once you'd get through the double checkpoint of, you know, the British Army on one side and then guard the Shikana on the other, you know, and you'd get yourself as far as Ballyshannon, you'd be thinking, right, this is great, man, you know, I mean, away from the stress. And then you'd hit Bundoran and the Astoria and Horseslips. It's a kind of a legendary gig. It had a sprung floor and it would be absolutely packed to curiosity, as they'd say in the old days. And once they'd launch into the likes of Dara Doom, or, you know, the whole place would be hopping. But it was to do with the release as well of getting out of the north. The loads of kids from Enniskillen, Omagh, you know, crossing the border and getting away for the weekend somewhere where, you know, there wasn't any stress. But of course, on top of that, there was Horseslips themselves, you know, their identity, what they were writing about, you know, they were confident, they looked fantastic, the music was fabulous, and, you know, it was just great, you know, watching these guys up there kind of doing their stuff, and they had huge, big Marshall stacks. The music was really loud. It was like, it was a huge positive energy they were bringing to a scenario that at the time in the 1970s was at its worst. And I think loads of people still have a big draw for Horseslips because of what they did at that time. There were other bands as well, of course, you know, there were other bands as well that were doing things, and not just rock bands, but traditional, like Clonard and people like that, who were coming in and doing gigs in Belfast, and Rory Gallagher, who was doing gigs in Belfast. So it was bound up in that. But I'll never forget that gig. You know Barry Devlin, Eamon Carr, you know, Charles O'Connor, Lockhart, Johnny Feen. I mean, it was like proper stuff.
We have, not from back in the Astoria, but there was a live album done by Horseslips in 2010, capturing all the nostalgia, I think, and here is Dara Doom.
We'll be right back.
Ah, great stuff from Horace Sips and Dara Doom. Favourite movie, actor, or director? You have given us definitely a choice that in the 7 or 8 years that we've been doing the Culture Club, nobody has given us The Battle of Algiers. So tell us all about this, please.
Well, La Bataille d'Algiers is a very famous French film about the revolution in the 1960s in Algiers. And it centres around a character called Ali Lapointe, and you know, who's a young revolutionary, and it's about how the Algerians decided to deal with the French as their, you know, colonial power, how in effect they were going to get rid of them, you know, when politics had finished, they had to kind of decide to go on the front foot and take the battle to the French for their country. And it's a kind of, it's a beautiful film about, you know, how eventually colonialism has to let its grip go on any country. And you get, what's amazing about it is how involved you get with the young people. And it had a big influence on me when I first saw it in my early 20s. And yeah, I'd recommend it to anybody. It's a very powerful film, political film, and describes a moment in history in the 1960s that runs parallel with what was happening possibly in Derry and in the north as well. And it's a fab. I have loads of films, of course, that are very dear to my heart, you know, but that's a wonderful one.
Now, we asked you for a favourite play, a theatre show, musical. You've gone with a musical, Guys and Dolls. Why so?
I love Guys and Dolls. Guys and Dolls, you know, as anybody who knows musicals will tell you, there's about 10 or 15 musicals that are like beautifully constructed. And Guys and Dolls has to be one of the top 5-10 musicals ever written. It has this incredible structure to it, you know, and it's based on the books by Damon Runyon and things like that. But it has these fabulous characters in it, but it's just got beautiful structure and it's got incredible songs, and yeah,
I'm going to play one of them, actually. You maybe just tell us a little bit more once we've played Marisha Wallace with Take Back Your Mink from the performance for the Olivia Awards in 2024.
Yep.
Okay, Adrian, that's very much from another generation, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. It's about a time when men thought they, it's about the old game. It's like when you watch that the play called Boeing, Boeing. It's the old game. It's the game where the guys think they're in charge, but in the end of the day, the girls get everything they want. And that's one of the satisfying things about Guys and Dolls, and it's just got fabulous songs, great dance sequences, and I saw the original at the National Theatre when they revived it back in the 1980s with people like Imelda Staunton. It was fantastic, and I could easily go and watch that again.
Okay.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Favorite book? You've given us Memoirs of Hadrian by Marguerite Yourcenar. Tell us what this is about.
This is it's a historical book. It's where Marguerite Yourcenar places herself through her own, you know, understanding and huge research and understanding into the mind of the Emperor Hadrian and how he sees his life progressing and the relationships around him. And it's, as an actor, I just thought it was the most incredible way that she places herself. It becomes the character, if you like. So she becomes him, and she has feelings and his emotions, and she writes them down, and you get completely enthralled to all his perceptions of the world. And the phrases that she uses really stay with you as he begins to understand his demise, for example, and how it all could come about, having been, you know, this omnipresent sort of character across the whole of the known world. And yes, it's just a really powerful book. And yeah, I'd recommend it to anybody as a history book. And in fact, I found that a lot of people, there are a number of people who, having read it, would recommend it as one of their favourite books.
Well, we're going to play an extract from the audio version.
My dear Mark, today I went to see my physician, Hermogenes, who was just returned to the villa from a rather long journey in Asia. No food could be taken before the examination, so we had made the appointment for the early morning hours. I took off my cloak and tunic and lay down on a couch. I spare you details which would be as disagreeable to you as to me, the description of the body of a man who is growing old and is about to die of a dropsical heart. Let us say only that I coughed, inhaled, and held my breath according to Hermogenes' directions. He was alarmed, in spite of himself, by the rapid progress of the disease, and was inclined to throw the blame on young Iolas, who has attended me during his absence. It is difficult to remain an emperor in the presence of a physician, and difficult even to keep one's essential quality as man.
Okay, there we have that from Memoirs of Hadrian. Adrian, you're very well known to TV viewers, particularly for the role of Chief Superintendent Ted Hastings in Line of Duty. When are we going to see season 7?
Well, I would imagine you're going to see it sometime early next year, hopefully, yeah. We're shooting it in Belfast at the minute, and it's going very well. I think Jed Mercurio, the writer, has come up with a seriously good script. We have some fabulous actors once again. We have, you know, Mark Bonner and Owen Teal and Robert Carlyle. And, of course, we have Vicky McClure, Martin Compston. So, you know, it's a pretty good pretty good lineup, and the storyline is really, really excellent. I think the people, you know, the fans of the show will really get a kick out of it.
Do you look back on that with a great sense of pride, the way that the 6 seasons to date of Line of Duty caught the public attention so much that people became so invested in it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, because, Yeah, you know, I spent my whole childhood watching British television and, you know, and looking at those kind of iconic characters as they arrived through the 60s and into the 70s. And, you know, to find yourself having, you know, along with the writer, of course, with Jed, creating a character that's kind of sat up and been noticed on British TV is a great achievement as far as I'm concerned. And I really enjoy it that people have, you know, connected with him as a person. And it's been really, really, it's been fabulous for me. Of course, you know, I'd had a kind of good time up to then. I'd been, you know, doing plays and directing plays and creating things and kind of doing all kinds of other stuff. But you know, to suddenly get a role like this that was a returning series for the first time, it's been very, very special.
Although you mentioned watching so much British television growing up, your choices as a child are very much all from America. Star Trek, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible.
Yeah, well, well, I mean, I could have put down, you know, The Prisoner and The Saint and, you know, on British TV, yeah, things like that. But the ones that really got me were Star Trek, because it was just so fantastical and funny. And, you know, I always envied Colm Meaney that he ended up, you know, getting a gig on Star Trek, because I would have just absolutely loved that, you know. And
Adrian, I'm just conscious of the time here as well, but I have noticed as well in your modern choices, you don't go for dramas. You've gone for things like game shows like QI and Have I Got News For You?
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. And I love documentaries and nature programs and that. I mean, you know, you spend your time doing dramas, you know, a lot of the time. And now and again, when something, everybody's talking about something like Killing Eve or Peaky Blinders, you know, you go and watch them. But you know, the things, when I think about TV these days, I think about, you know, something that where I can relax.
Yes.
And just chill out and kind of watch something like, you know, watch Attenborough or watch... You know, I love documentaries, you know, Beatles documentaries, documentaries about musicians in particular and music. I mean, you can watch those all day. There's so many of them. And so drama is kind of like that, you know, that's my job. And sometimes you think, right, I'll just give that a break for a while and I'll watch some other stuff. And
That makes perfect sense.
I love quiz shows.
Well, I want to finish, but the cultural buried treasure, we ask somebody to nominate something different, be it a movie, a song, a poem, a book, anything that they feel has been overlooked, which should be examined. And sometimes people give us locations, and you've given us a location and you're the first person to have done so. You've given us Moore Street in the heart of Dublin city centre. Why so?
Well, I've given you Moore Street because it is a buried treasure. It is one of the most significant places in the state. And at the moment, it's in this wrangle between the government and private interests and the people of Dublin, really, to save it. Not just save the street, but save that place where in 1916, James Connolly, Patrick Pearse and Tom Clark decided that what was happening in the city had to come to an end, and they decided to surrender. It's an incredibly important cultural space, like the GPO, and people have been struggling with it and protesting about it for years now. That it almost seems incredible that we, you know, people find themselves again asking the government to intervene to save one of the most important cultural spaces in the city. You know, it belongs in the national consciousness the same way as New Grange and Kilmainham and the GPO. So, you know, if I was asking anybody to save anything at the minute, it would be to contact James Connolly Heron and the people who are trying to save Moore Street and look at the plans that they have for Murray Street to turn it into a destination. We don't have a destination building for people coming to understand Irish culture from across the world. There is a pathetic, pathetic attempt to do something at the GPO. We really need to get our act together, but we need to get our act together about a number of things, of course. But we need to really, really show that we're confident as a culture and save Murray Street.
Adrian Dunbar, thank you so much for being with us on the Culture Club here on The Last Word in Today FM. And Adrian is going to be involved in curating the Kavanagh Weekend in Inishkeen, County Monaghan, which runs from the 25th to the 27th of September. Thank you so much, Adrian, for taking the time to join us. It's been great having
you. Thank you.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.